Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. A real pleasure and a real treat for me. A wonderful actress who has had and is having a wonderful career. And it started a long time ago for a young gal, and she's been around a long time for a young gal. And her resume is just unbelievable. It's Old Yeller is on there. Shane is on there. Another movie, and she's uncredited, but Cecil B. DeMille directed this film, The Greatest Show on Earth, about the Ringling Brothers. Charlton Heston was in it, Betty Hutton. And it was the best picture of the year, and she was in that. And then the TV shows, forget it. I could be here for an hour explaining Star Trek. Everybody always points out Star Trek, but that's just a little part of it. Leave It to Beaver, the Loretta Young show, and then the later, I think, if I'm remembering right, the later Loretta Young show, the Lone Ranger. Just what a career she has had and still having. Beverly Washburn, the wonderful Beverly Washburn, is our very special guest. Beverly, how are you?
Oh, Frank, thank you. My goodness, what an introduction. You have me ready to cry. That's so sweet. I appreciate all your kind words, and I do feel very blessed that I have had, you know, the opportunity to work with so many people, and, you know, being on your show is quite an honor for me, so thank you for having me, and thanks to all the listeners. This is wonderful. I hope everybody's staying safe and well. This is a tough time.
That's the main thing. And, you know, usually when I say, how are you doing, it's just kind of a passing thought. But really, how are you doing? Are you holding up all right, and your family okay?
Well, I'm doing the best I can. You know, I live in Las Vegas, and fortunately, Nevada, you know, we don't have as many of the cases and deaths. But our governor is, you know, very much about, you know, saving lives. So we're opening kind of slowly. And so we're just trying to, you know, do what he's telling us, keeping our distance and washing our hands and all the things that we're all supposed to do. But it's not easy, but, you know, we'll get through it. Everybody's gotten through the other pandemic, so we will too.
I think your governor's actually doing a very good job, reasonable job, the way they're handling it in general in Nevada.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, yeah. I like what they're doing there. You know, and again, to everyone out there, keep your distance. Put the masks on. Don't be silly. Don't be tough. Put the masks on.
Yeah.
It's not impressive to walk around without a mask. And
no.
And look, you know, when it comes down to it, like you said, we'll get through it. In the meanwhile, we have Beverly Washburn here, and wow, it's just, you know, you look at your career, and I was having a conversation, and I mean this, with a friend of mine, and he's real into pop culture, and your name came up, and we said, look, not only did she have this incredible career as a child star, but then as like a teenager, and then and a young adult, and now as an adult, and you're still getting roles. You're still doing roles in all of this time, and it's quality work. Your acting's wonderful. I've always loved your work.
Thank you.
But is there a secret to this? I mean, you say, well, I'm blessed, and you know, you're being very modest. But what is it? What is it that allowed you to do this?
I guess just perseverance, and you know, I try to live my life in gratitude because you know, none of us are promised anything, and you know, we all go through our tough times. I actually have a book out that I wrote. It's my autobiography, and it's called Real Tears, and it's spelled R-E-E-L, like the film Real. It's kind of a little play on words, because for some reason, I don't know why, but it seems like almost every role that I was ever cast in, I was asked to cry. So in my book, you know, it's my autobiography, as I said, and there's a lot of photos in it, and I just talk about how I got started, and just I think my parents were instrumental because they weren't the typical, you know, there's like a cliche about the Hollywood stage mother and all that, and they were just very supportive, and, you know, they never forced me into doing anything, and as long as I did my chores, and, you know, they tried to keep me grounded because my mother would say, just because you're working in a movie, it doesn't make you any better than anybody else. You know, you're just maybe a little luckier than somebody else, but you have to always be grateful for, you know, everything that you have. So that's kind of my mantra. I just try to live in gratitude, and I get so just touched when people do remember me, because I've been I've been around so darn long. But I love, you know, acting, and I've had so many wonderful experiences, you know, working with Jack Benny and Bing Crosby and George Reeves and Loretta Young and all those people. But, you know, Frank, most of the work that I did was as a child, and I was too young to really appreciate, you know, I had no idea that I was being directed by George Stevens or Frank Capra or Cecil B. DeMille, because I was too young to appreciate it. And it was like, you know, when I worked with Jack Benny the first time on his live TV show, I was 8 years old, and I didn't really even know who he was. To me, he was just a nice man that I was working with. And so it really was not until I became an adult that I looked back over my career and realized really how fortunate I was, having worked with so many, you know, really great people, including Kirk Douglas and Carl Malden, I mean, and Lou Costello, Ernest Borgnine, all those people. And so my appreciation, I mean, I loved working with them, but I was too young to get that they were famous, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a different concept when you're a child, you know, being told that I was being directed by Cecil B. DeMille didn't really mean anything to me because, you know, I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
So as I got older, I sure do appreciate all those fond memories that I have, which I talk about in my book.
Yeah. Well, let me just remind folks that are just tuning in or turning on their radios a little late. Real Tears is the name of the book. It's a must get for everyone. I guess Amazon and Barnes and Noble and anywhere they sell great books. Beverly Washburn is the author of that book, and she is a wonderful actress, and she was a child star, and she is wonderful to this day, and her resume is a mile long, and her list of legends that she just mentioned, she just rambled off just a couple of names, and they're all legends. I mean, everyone from Lou Costello to Jack Benny, and just a very humble lady with nice dogs there. Do you have one or two?
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I think a leaf fell out and it fell down in the backyard, and they had to go check it out. I'm sorry about that. I have two little rescue dogs.
What are they? What kind of dogs?
Well, they're just little mutts, you know. They were just rescues, and I'm so grateful to have them, because going through this pandemic, I'm a widow, sadly, so I'm alone, and so having these two dogs are a real comfort for me, you know.
Well, listen, I remember one of your dogs in the movie, and
Old Yeller.
And it didn't end up so nice, but
no, not so good for him. Well, you know, he was actually a rescue dog. They found him in an animal shelter.
Wow.
And yeah, he was an amazing dog. And I always joke, I said, if I remember right, his dressing room was bigger than mine. But he was a great dog, and it was so much fun to do that movie.
Yeah, and were you, as one of the kids, were you playing with the dog all the time, or were you told not to play with Old Yeller?
Well, we were allowed, of course, to pet him and everything, but Tommy Kirk, who, by the way, lives here in Las Vegas, we're still friends.
Wow.
64 years later, and he comes over for dinner. He's a bachelor, so he likes to get a home-cooked meal sometimes. So we still get together. And sadly, the other little boy, Kevin Corcoran, he passed away a few years ago from cancer. The one, you know, the young one, Arliss. And so during the filming, it was all done. It was supposed to take place in Texas, but we never went on location. Other than out to like Iverson Ranch, which was, you know, in LA, out kind of by the mountains. And then the rest of it was done on the lot. So we had school in a big red trailer with all the Mouseketeers and Annette, of course, you know, and Sharon and all of them. And I'm, so I'm still friends with Sharon Baird's one of my dearest friends. In fact, I just got off the phone with her. She lives in Reno. And anyway, I digress. But we were allowed to, you know, of course, pet Old Yeller. But when you're a minor, you have to have school on, you know, they require 3 hours of schooling on this while you're working. So in between scenes, you know, we didn't really get a chance, like, to play with him or anything, because we'd have to go right to our red trailer and do our schooling until we got in 3 hours. And then as a minor, you can only work 8 hours a day, and you have to have an hour for lunch. And they have a welfare worker on the set to make sure that, you know, you get your breaks and all that. So, and then they treated Old Yeller so well, you know, and so, as I said, we could pet him, but it wasn't like we could hang out with him or anything, because he'd go into his dressing room and then, you know, have his water and food and treats and, you know, and he would be able to rest in between scenes. So, but it was just fun, you know, being an animal lover. I was so thrilled when I got that part, you know. Wow. And he was a great dog, real sweet, friendly dog. And he was so good in that, wasn't he?
Oh, amazing. You know, and by the way, up until that last scene, he was very lovable, right?
I know. That was such a heartbreaking thing. And I've had, you know, grown men say, I can't watch that movie. It's too sad.
Yeah, I can't either. I get to that part and I just kind of fast forward through. I know on Friends there was a gag where they were talking about, you remember that, right? Phoebe was saying, oh, happy ending. And they're like, no, he gets shot at the end. And she's like, what? They were fast-forwarding, trying to, you know, keep her from the sad part.
Yeah, her parents wouldn't let her see the end. I know, that was hilarious.
Yeah. Beverly Washburn, everyone, is the author of Real Tears, and that's R-E-E-L. It's a must-get for everyone. Buy two of these books, one for your friend and one for yourself.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. And, you know, I always donate a portion of the sales to an animal charity as well. Also, there's two books, and the first one is Real Tears, but the best one to get is my second edition. It's Real Tears Take Two. It's basically, it's kind of redundant because everything that was in Real Tears is in Real Tears Take Two, but there's more stories. It's like twice as big and lots more photos that I was able to find. So it's on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's called Real Tears Take Two.
And again, so, Beverly Washburn is our very special guest. Former child star and still a star in my book, that's for sure. And she is a wonderful, wonderful actress. And her resume is a mile long. So many people say, oh, yeah, the Star Trek actress. I think you were in one Star Trek episode, right? Was it?
The Star Trek fans are amazing.
They're so
loyal. Yeah, they know every episode, every character. They know your dialogue. Because one of the lines that I had it was the second season, and it was an episode called The Deadly Years, and I die of old age, and we're all starting to get old. And then I walk by this mirror, and I say, and I see myself as this old person, and I look at it and I say, that's a stupid place to hang a mirror. And I literally had fans of Star Trek come up to me, and they don't even say hello or anything. They just come up to me and go, that's a stupid place to hang a mirror. Like, they know that. I go, how do you know my dialect? That's amazing. They're incredible, the Star Trek fans.
No doubt about it. They're the most loyal people that you can imagine, and knowledgeable, and usually very intelligent too. I mean, they really get into it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, no question.
Yeah,
you know, you mentioned a couple of times Frank Capra. Was that Here Comes the Groom? Where did you?
Here
work?
Comes the Groom. Yeah, with Bing Crosby. You know, it's kind of strange because I was like 7 years old. The movie that year won the Oscar for the best song, which was In the Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening. It was written by Johnny Mercer and Hoagy Carmichael. And the movie was directed by Frank Capra. The wardrobe lady was Edith Head. And it was done at Paramount. And it was Bing Crosby, Jane Wyman, Franchot Tone. Then they had all these cameos. They had Dorothy L'Amour, Louis Armstrong, Phil Harris, Cass Daly, Frank Fontaine. And you know, this wonderful cast, and yet it really didn't do big box office. I mean, it's out on, you know, DVD, or I think it was out on VHS, but it's a really cute movie, a fun movie where Bing Crosby adopts us. We're two French war orphans, and it's a really sweet movie, but it's not that well known, you know, even though it won the Oscar that year for the best song, and you know, had such a good cast with Bing Crosby and Jane Wyman, you know.
You know what it was? I'm telling you, Frank Capra made a style of film, and it was so wonderful. It Happened One Night, and It's a Wonderful Life, and Lady for a Day. All of these movies that were so beloved, and he never changed up. And you know, you didn't want him to. You know, that was his style.
Yeah.
That was there, and maybe the public got and again I wouldn't think in that time period, but maybe they got like, okay, we've seen Frank Capra already a million times. And he got
maybe
a bad rap. Maybe something like that just
happened.
I don't
know. Possibly, yeah, I don't know. Because a lot, you know, most people haven't even really heard of that movie. But, I mean, it's available on
I had to think, and I'm a big Frank Capra fan. And then I'm looking at your IMDb here. And then, yeah, that's the only one I could think that where you worked with him. George Stevens, you worked with George Stevens on more than one film?
No, it was Shane, and we filmed most of it in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and again, without, you know, sounding redundant, I didn't know who he was because I was too young to appreciate it, you know, but he was just such a nice man. He really was, and you know, looking back, I thought, my goodness, how lucky I was to have worked with, you know, George Stevens and Alan Ladd, and being such an iconic film. I mean, I had just a really small role. I played one of the Lewis children, and Edgar Buchanan was the father, and he was terrific. So it was a wonderful experience, and I have so many fond memories, and I'm so grateful for them.
You know, the one tidbit you always hear about Shane was that Alan Ladd, and I don't know if this is true, not true, I don't know if you noticed, but that he stood on milk crates because he was short, right? He was short compared to Jack Palance. And did he stand on some kind of milk? Do you remember anything like that?
I don't remember actually seeing him on a milk crate, but he was short. Of course, I mean, I'm really tiny too. I'm only 5 feet tall. But in fact, there's a story in my book, something really funny that happened with Alan Ladd. And when we were on location, I have a picture in in the book about it. And so I can't vouch for him. I don't recall actually seeing him. But again, you know.
You've heard that, right? You've
this
heard
is
that
a long that. Time ago. I was only like 8 years old.
But you must have heard that just in
movies. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. I've had to stand on many, they call them apple boxes, and there was a TV show that I did. It was a short-lived series. It was called Ichabod and Me, and I was about 20 at the time when I did this little, it wasn't a real popular TV show. I think it was on maybe one or two seasons, but at any rate, the scene was I was coming with my fiance to introduce him to my parents, and they so we ring the doorbell. Well, for some reason, and I don't know why, the casting person cast the guy who was playing my fiance. He was 6'4" and I'm 5 feet tall, so when they opened the door, the cameraman couldn't get us both in the shot, because they would either get like my forehead and his belt buckle, or they, you know, or yeah, it was hilarious. And so I had to stand on an apple box, which I had done many times, but this one was a really big apple box so that they could get us both in the shot when they opened the door. It was funny.
Let me again remind everyone, Beverly Washburn is our very special guest, and the author of two books, really, Real Tears and Real Tears Take Two, and get them both, right? How about that?
Well, yeah, oh, no, yeah.
if you have to,
Frank,
get Real Tears 2, I guess, right? That covers everything.
Yeah, Take 2 is the latest one, and it has everything that the first one has, but a lot more photos that we were able to come up with. That kind of, well, there's a story about how the photos came into play as well, but that's in the book. So
well, let me also remind everyone who stepped away. Frank McKay here, reminding everyone you're listening to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay with Beverly Washburn, in case you walked away. And let me remind everyone of who she is, and I'll give some of her resume. I can only give some of it because we'll be here all day listing off names. She has an amazing career, starting as a child star, Old Yeller, Star Trek, Leave It to Beaver, The Loretta Young Show, and then the new Loretta Young Show, the later one, The Greatest Show on Earth, which was a Best Picture, Cecil B. DeMille, and The Lone Ranger. How about that? And so many other great movies and TV show. Here Comes the Groom, and the directors, George Stevens and Shane. And I thought there was a second George Stevens for some reason that you played in. But anyway, Beverly Washburn is our very special guest. And I know I've been making you wait a little while here, but welcome back, Beverly.
Thank you, Frank. Really, I'm so honored to be on your show. When Lori Jacobson, my dear friend and manager, who, as everyone knows, is married to John Provost, who was Timmy on Lassie, when she contacted me to say that, you know, you wanted me on your show, I was just so thrilled. That was just, I really appreciate that you reached out to want me on your show. I'm honored. I really am, because I know you've had some really good people on your show, and you're very well known. So thank you so much for letting me be a part of it.
Well, listen, the honor is mine. And you're very modest, and I think your parents brought you up well. By your mom saying that, that kind of stood out. I guess it must have stuck with you, because she said, look, you know, just because you're in a movie or just because you're on TV doesn't make you better than anyone else. You seem to have that attitude. And everybody I know that has met you along the way always has wonderful things to say about you. You have very few enemies, right? You don't have, I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't like Beverly Washburn.
And, you're so sweet.
Either as a fan or as somebody that you've worked with. I don't want to get controversial or anything like that, but I interviewed Jerry Tucker, who used to be he passed recently, and I knew him. And I had him on the show a couple of times, and he was one of the last remaining Little Rascals, and he had a hard time, I think, with Maurice Chevalier, and he said he just didn't like kids. Maurice Chevalier didn't like kids, and they said stay away from Mr. Chevalier, don't go anywhere near him, and he said all kinds of things like if they went too close to him or if the ball went there when they were playing, he would kick the ball further away. Have you had any experiences as a young girl where the actor, or, and if you don't want to share their name, that's fine, but is there any experiences you had as a child star where the adult stars were nasty?
No, I can't. I think I'm one of the fortunate ones, because I just have fond memories. I really, I look back. Some of them were like really quick. When I did Hans Christian Andersen, that was with Danny Kaye, and it was just a quick scene, and he was in jail, and I'm outside the jail cell, and he sang Thumbelina to me, and again, I didn't know who he was, and it was just a one-day thing, you know? And so, because I had heard, and it's kind of contradictory, because people said that he didn't like children, and yet he was, you know, he worked so hard with the UNICEF and helping children, so I never, when I heard that later, I never understood that. But I have to say, he was as nice as he could possibly be to me. You know, and some, of course, stick out even more. As like Loretta Young was kind of almost like a second mother to me. She was so down to earth and so just genuine and dear and sweet. And I worked with her many times on her episodic show. And then as an adult, she called me at home and said, you know, she was doing this series in which she played a widow with seven children. And she said, I want you to be one of my daughters. And it's out on DVD now, but they changed the name. It's called Christine's Children. But back then it was called The New Loretta Young Show. And I learned a lot from her, really. She was just so hands-on, and she would invite us over to her house for dinner. And she was just all about being kind. I mean, it seems so cliche, but just being kind. It takes so little effort to be kind, and it can mean so much, you know. And like one of my favorite sayings is that if you see someone without a smile, give them one of yours, yeah. You know, because it's contagious. Usually if you smile, unless somebody's really having a bad day or they're not a nice person, they'll smile back. And it's you know, there ain't no do-overs, you know. We get one shot at this life, and we have to just be grateful and live in kindness and gratitude, and just be grateful, because none of us are promised tomorrow, you know.
Real Tears, Take Two is the book everyone's got to get, and Amazon.com is a great place to go, and Barnes & Noble, and it's a wonderful book, and it's
Thank
a must.
You.
Get two of them. Get one for your friend, and get one for yourself. But get
oh,
them,
Frank.
Please. Beverly Washburn is the author of that book, and a former child star, and still a star. She's still making movies. Still making.
Oh, bless your heart.
After
Thank
all
you.
This time, and again, I shouldn't say after all this time. You're still, you know, you still got a lot of.
No, I'm pretty darn old.
No,
I'm pretty darn old.
You're not. You know, listen. People are living well past 100 now. I don't consider.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, people.
I'm not sure. Whoa.
Well, you're not sure.
Well, I'll be 77. I will be 77 in November, so.
Yeah, well,
I'm still above ground, so I'm thankful for
you're
that.
You're making films, you know. I mean, back in my grandmother's time when she was, I'm 53, so when my grandmother was 77, she looked like she was 97, and I say that with all love and respect or whatever. I mean, you look like you're a kid, you know. You
could have, bless your heart.
You know, I used to own nightclubs. I'd proof you. If you can, you're little, you know, you're tiny. And anyway, you know, that aside, you've got to be proud
Thank
of
you.
what you've done. You've got to be proud of the body
I
of
am.
Work.
I am. I feel so fortunate. I really am fortunate. And there's a movie also that I did that for some reason it's become like a almost like a cult classic. It has a really big following. It was a movie called Spider Baby, and it's with Lon Chaney Jr.
Yeah.
And then for people who are horror fans, you know, everybody knows Sid Haig. Sadly, he passed away last year, but he's in the movie. It's a Jack Hill film. And we did it, you know, many moons ago. I think I was 20 or something. And it just kind of sat there for a long time because it was a very low-budget film. And then Quentin Tarantino saw it because he's a friend of Jack Hill's. And of course, you know, Quentin Tarantino, he's so famous, and he's very quirky, and anyway, he loved the movie, and he was instrumental in getting it, you know, re-released, and so sometimes, you know, Laurie will book me into, you know, like an autograph convention that they have on the country, and so many people remember Spider Baby. It's just, it has a really big following, and it has its own website, and it's got, you know, T-shirts and memorabilia from it and all that. But it was a really fun film to do because working with Lon Chaney Jr. was terrific.
Let me again remind everyone, Beverly Washburn is the voice that you're hearing, and you know her work from Old Yeller and Spider Baby, two very different movies, right? Old Yeller.
Right.
And Star Trek. And so many others. Frank McKay here, urging everyone to get Real Tears, Take Two. It is her autobiography, and it's a must-get. And Beverly Washburn
Thanks.
Is our very special guest, Frank McKay, here with Beverly. Let me ask you, going back to Star Trek, And I saw your episode recently, and you were wonderful in it. And yeah, that line stands out, you know, like about the mirror. But if you think about it, back then, nobody really knew that this would be a show, because it was only on three seasons, right? No one knew that this would have the impact that it did. And by the way, it influenced Star Wars, and look what happened to Star Wars and what that has influenced. But did you have any idea when you got that script that this would be something big? Nothing?
No, nothing. None whatsoever, because it wasn't really popular when it first came on, and it was actually the fans who brought it back, because it was only on, what was it, three seasons,
yeah,
I think?
Three seasons.
And then all the fans, like, got crazy, like, no, you can't take that off. And so, you know, in essence, it was the fans that brought that show back, and then it became huge. And, you know, I had no idea at the time. And when I went on the audition, the first thing they asked me is if I was claustrophobic, and I thought, that's an odd thing to ask me. Well, it's because in the scene where I, you know, I look in the mirror and I'm old, but in order to achieve that effect, they had to make a plaster cast of my face, and I had to breathe through a straw until it dried, and then after that, they made a rubber mask from the plaster cast, and so when I'd go into makeup, you know, they'd have to put that rubber mask, you know, with spirit gum on my face, and then the makeup over that. And it was, like, really tedious. It was 4.5 hours, you know, to put that that makeup on.
Was that the first, not to cut you off, but was that the first time that you played an older person, you know, and I know you were just kind of growing old instantaneous there, but was that the first time that you had to wear makeup to play an older person?
Yeah, to wear any, you know, that kind of makeup, yeah. I mean, I had, you know, basically my career was as a child, and then it kind of slowed down a little bit. I did a couple of things in my teen years. I did a Patty Duke show and Gidget and, you know, things like that. And then it just kind of tapered off somewhat, and then I did a movie called Pit Stop with Brian Donlevy and Ellen Burstyn, and that's out on DVD now. At the time, Ellen Burstyn went by the name of Ellen McCrae, because she wasn't famous yet, and so on the, you know, on the DVD, it'll say starring Brian Donlevy and Ellen Burstyn, but, I mean, I'm sorry, Brian Donlevy and Ellen McCrae. And then it was later she became famous and changed her name to Ellen Burstyn. But when I did Pit Stop, it was just before Star Trek, and I had long blonde hair, and they wanted me to dye my hair because I was playing opposite Dick Davalos, and he was an actor. Sadly, he passed away a few years ago. He was just darling, just the sweetest guy. And he had kind of blondish hair, the same color as mine. And so Jack Hill, who was also the director of that movie, thought it would look better if we didn't have the same color hair, you know, that we would be opposite. So this was, you know, many years ago. So they didn't have all the chemicals like they have now. It was different when they sent me to this hair salon in Beverly Hills, and the chemicals that they used to make my hair dark, all of a sudden my hair was coming out in clumps. And I had, like, and so they had no choice but to cut it off, you know, really, really short. So in Pit Stop, I had this really, really short hair. And then it was right after that that I did Star Trek, and that's why my hair was that really short haircut, because it had all fallen out from when they dyed it for that movie.
Yeah. Again, Beverly Washburn. The author of Real Tears 2, or I'm sorry, Real Tears Take 2. Go to Amazon and please get two of these books. And Beverly Washburn is a wonderful actress and still going strong. 77 years young, almost 77 years young.
And, I don't even know why I shared that old age with
that's
you.
Not old. That's not old anymore. Trust me. Frank McKay here with Beverly Washburn. Let me go back to your teenage years. And again, not to get too personal, but were people aware of who you were, and was there either a dating, you know, like a forbidden, well, I don't want to date her, she's a star, or what was there, you know, the boys that thought, oh boy, this would be something to date the girl from Old Yella or Shane or whatever. What was your teenage years like? Were you popular?
I think that, you know, it was pretty normal. I've always been very fortunate in that I've always had many friends. And, you know, I'm still to this day friends with a lot of old boyfriends, you know, yeah. that, and I say old by age and old by past, because it was many years ago. And, you know, I think I have to thank my parents for always keeping me to try to be humble and, you know, grounded, that just because, you know, it's a job, it's, you know, it doesn't make you superior to anybody just because you, you know, you act. So I don't, you know, even to this day, I'm not exactly a household name. You know, people don't always know me by name, but invariably, if I'm with a friend or something and they introduce me to somebody and they'll say, this is Beverly Washburn, and people go, nice to meet you. And then they'll say, she was the little girl in Old Yeller. And then they'll go, that was you? You know, so they don't always put the name together with the film. But for some reason, Old Yeller is just a movie that so many people either have seen, or if they haven't seen it, at least they know about it. So I just feel, I just am so grateful that I was a part of it. You know, it was such a fond memory of mine. And as I said, to this day, Tommy and I are still friends, and Sharon Baird, who's like one of my very best friends, that we met having school together when she was a Mouseketeer. So I, you know, everything kind of evolves and comes to, I guess, the way it's meant to be. And Tony Dow and I, you know, just before this pandemic hit, we were so close to making this movie. Walter Murphy was going to do the score, and he's quite famous. You know, he does a lot with Seth MacFarlane, and he wrote that song, Beethoven's Fifth, you know, for Saturday Night Fever.
Yep.
And he was going to do the score, and Richard Benjamin, who I'm a huge fan of, agreed to be in the movie, along with his son, Ross Benjamin, and then Stanley Livingston from, you know, My Three Sons, was going to play the minister in the movie. And it's a really sweet movie called December Dilemma. It'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry. It's a sweet kind of a holiday film. And we were getting so close to getting the final funding, and Tony Dow and I were going to play husband and wife. And I don't know, then this pandemic hit and everything just, you know, has been put on hold. So we're hoping that one day we can do that movie, because it was supposed to have been made a few years ago, and then there was a glitch, and so it was back on track, and we got so close. So I'm hoping that will happen, because it's a really sweet movie, and it will be so much fun to play Tony Dow's wife. He's such a sweet, sweet, dear guy, and he and his wife, Lauren, are really good friends of mine. And
he's some
so
artist
that
also.
Happens.
What an artist he is.
Oh, he's terrific. You know, if somebody, I mean, if there's anybody in the world who doesn't know Leave It to Beaver, I don't know. But if somebody were to meet Tony and had not heard of Leave It to Beaver, and they would never in a million years know that he was Wally Cleaver, because he is the most down-to-earth, sweet, humble, just, you know, regular guy that every, I mean, he's an amazing friend, and I adore him and his wife, Lauren, as well.
You know, great guy. Absolutely great guy. We got a couple moments left with the wonderful Beverly Washburn. And, again, mm-hmm. you know her work from so many things. And Old Yeller, again, stands out. And Leave It to Beaver, the Loretta Young Show, and The Greatest Show on Earth, The Lone Ranger, Star Trek, Shane, Spider Baby. It's just... But she is the author of Real Tears Take Two. Please buy that book. Frank McKay here with Beverly Washburn for, you know, another minute or so. Let me ask you this, and Again, I love Paul Peterson. We could do a whole show on him, and I've had him on several times. I love what he's done as far as children's
amazing.
Rights. Just an amazing guy and a tireless advocate. And again, this isn't to get personal or to be too specific, but how did you do? A lot of people got cheated, got really badly cheated. Were you treated okay or at different times? Did you get paid what you were supposed to get paid? Did you have anything to show for all your work?
It's kind of a long story that it would take too long to go into now, but it is in my book about, you know, the money situation. But Paul has been such an advocate. He's been so amazing. And I was never mistreated on the set. I was always very well taken care of. And so I never had any problems like that. And I was fortunate that I never fell into, you know, the drug scene or the, you know, alcoholic scene where, I mean, I like to have a glass of wine, don't get me wrong. But, but you know, so many children, sadly, you know, fall into, you know, I don't know how it happens, but I was lucky to have escaped, you know, that syndrome, you know. And so I don't have any bad experiences to complain about, but it is in my book. But it was kind of a situation with the money that I made as a child, but it's all good. It's okay.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Listen, that's the main thing. And boy, you sound so grounded. And Tony's the same way. And the both of you, you know, just beautiful people. I mean, to this day, and I can tell just in this conversation and a brief conversation we had the other day, you're just a lovely person. Thrilled to have you, and hopefully I can get you back for a part two one of these days. Beverly Washburn, I want to thank you very much. Real Tears Take Two is the book. Everyone's got to get it. Do you have a website or a social media site you want to share with us?
I think there's a website that was put up. I don't know if it's still there. I'm old and I'm technically challenged, so I don't do all that, you know, the social media.
Okay. Don't apologize. You're smart.
But you can Google my name, I guess, and there's information. But, I don't know how to do all that stuff. It's embarrassing.
Don't be embarrassed about anything. what a career and a life you've had. Thank you very much for sharing with us, and hopefully I can get you back for a part two. We've just touched the surface here, just scratched the surface. Beverly Washburn, thank you very much. Congratulations on a still strong career, just going wonderfully.
Thank you, Frank. It means so much to me to be on your show. I'm honored. I truly am, and thank you to all the listeners, you know, that stuck through this interview with me. I do tend to ramble, but it is fun to reminisce, and I thank you so much for having me on your show.
Beverly Washburn, everyone. Name of the book is Real Tears Take Two, and a former child star and adult. I was going to say adult star. That sounds like something completely different. But a star as an adult actress, and she is wonderful. Spider Baby, Old Yeller, The Loretta Young Show, The Greatest Show on Earth, Shane, Leave It to Beaver, The Lone Ranger, just forget it. I'd be here forever. Beverly Washburn, please get the book Real Tears Take Two.
Thanks.
Wonderful actress and author. Beverly Washburn has been our very special guest. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.